Are you ready to advance your career, hone your skills, or explore new vocational paths without spending thousands of dollars to further your education? Skillfeed.com features over 65,000 video tutorials to keep your creative and technical skills current. Choose from long courses or short tutorials called Skill Snacks, featuring courses on business, web development, education, finance, leadership, photography, and more. Get your 30-day free trial now. Log on to skillfeed.com/radio. That's skillfeed.com/radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, brothers and sisters, and welcome to the PRF table. And for those of you who don't know, PRF stands for Possessions, Resources, and Finances. I'm your host, Minister Dunlap, and we're just excited that you've taken your time to come out and fellowship with us. You see, the PRF table is now just the newest radio show that we've added to the We Speak Association Network on Blog Talk Radio. And it's not just a place where we're just coming to talk about any old thing. It's actually a community where everybody has an opportunity to feed, everybody has an opportunity to eat, and everybody has an opportunity to serve at this particular table. So this is a place where open and honest conversations will occur. You know, the type of conversations that are not just wishy-washy, but constructive conversations that are missing from our communities, missing from our religious organizations, and even within our own households. And we believe that from the conversation, we can move to dialogue, and then when we get to the point of dialogue, we can move to successful practical applications. So again, brothers and sisters, the PRF table is a community where everybody has the opportunity to feed, to eat, and to serve. Now tonight, we are excited for the We Speak Association family, not just because it's my premier show as the host of the PRF table, but the show Freedom Radio, which I co-hosted for the last year and still am a co-host, we just celebrated our one-year anniversary on the air last month. And for those of you who do not know, we had over 13,000 listeners for that time. So we're really, really happy for that accomplishment. We're also so grateful to God and for the blessing of you, the supporters, you, the listeners, because without you, we really could not have done it. So without further ado, what we're going to do is get into the show this evening. Tonight we have two guests that are going to be with us this evening to engage in the dialogue that we're going to go. The first guest that we have is Reverend Warren Feaster. This brother I've known for well over 20 years. It seems like it hasn't been that long, Brother Feaster, but it has. Brother Feaster is a military service member. He serves in the United States Army up at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. He's been in the Army for 20 years now. He's pursuing a bachelor's degree in psychology at Troy State University and also plans to pursue a master's in arts degree in marriage and family therapy at Liberty University. This brother has been married for 17 years, has two children, and also he's a licensed minister. So welcome, everybody, to the show, Brother Feaster. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing all right, Brother Denler. How are you?
I'm good. Now, you're going to have to be doing a little bit better than all right because there's a lot of people that are really looking forward to this show tonight. So we know you're really doing better than all right, but thank you so much for accepting the invitation to come in fellowship with us at the table. And the next guest that we have is Sister Adia Sanders. She is actually my cousin, and she's actually been on one of the shows that we had when I was co-hosting on Freedom Radio. Sister Sanders has been in the Army. She's also in the Army. She's been in the Army for a little over 10 years, and she's a major in the U.S. Army, a commissioned officer. She graduated from Livingstone College, which is in North Carolina, and she also is working on her master's degree on marriage and family therapy at Liberty University. So, Sister Sanders, how are you doing this evening? Welcome.
Hello. I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you know, this is an epic show. This is, again, a big time for Freedom Radio. Because, again, I would never be at this particular point where I'm at being a host of my show if it wasn't for Freedom Radio and the leadership of Sister Kimberly Skeen, which that show is going to continue to go on every other Tuesday night. For those who are just tuning in for the first time, this show, the PRF table right now, for the rest of this time that we have, is only going to be going on for the first Tuesday of the month, and all of the other Tuesdays we will continue on with Freedom Radio with Kimberly Skeen. So come join us, come support us. We love having everybody joining with us in this journey. Brother Feaster, Sister Sanders, let's get what we wanted to do really was just to really have a dialogue, have a conversation, and talk about, you know, what is this thing about PRF? What is this thing about possessions, resources, and finances? And just to give everybody just a little bit of background, PRF is, there's these three critical areas of society that affects every person, affects every household, every business, every community. And when we think about PRF, or possessions, resources, and finances, we oftentimes don't think about how the three we call expressions, how these expressions actually correlate between one another. Give you just a little brief story. You know, sometimes individuals who have a lot of money think that their money is what's actually getting them over. But oftentimes they don't realize that the money is nothing without the possessions that's attached to it, because a person can have a lot of money inside of the bank, but what they have as far as their stocks and their bonds, that's not money. Those are their actual finances, because they can't actually do anything with it, and somebody else makes a determination about what the value is of it. So where we want to start off with the show tonight, Brother Feaster, I'll start with you. Just give us a little bit of insight. You know, what does PRF mean to you, and how do you look at possession, resources, and finances?
Thank you for the invite, and I'm really honored to be here and be a part of this. I like the way this is going. I like what this is. And for me, they really intertwine with each other, possession, resources, and finances. A lot of times we put more value on our possessions, you know, well, not necessarily our possessions, but one of the other areas, and not realizing that they're all equal in itself. And if we put more value in one, then it's going to spill over into the other one and cause problems. But once we get a good idea and a great understanding of what the three are, then we can better be stewards of what we've been given. And I think that is a major contributor to why we do some of the things that we do, because we don't understand the connection between the three. I know over the past couple of years, I'm starting to realize and understand the difference between the three and even the connection between the three, and it has helped me out substantially in a lot of things. And I'm just, you know, be glad to share some of the information with everyone out here.
Well, since we have you, go ahead and share what you like, because, again, this is just about us having conversations. Like I said earlier at the top of the hour, a lot of times we don't like to have these type of conversations. A lot of times when we start talking about money, a lot of times people tend to push back because people don't want to open themselves up to what's going on with them, how certain things has affected them. So just keep on rolling with it, Brother Feaster.
Well, possessions a lot of times is just what we own, what we have, what we, you know, what we take in. Finances is the monetary value of those things, and resources is the I think resources is connection between all three of them, actually. Even though they're equal, the resource is connection, because a lot of times when we take the resources, that would get us a lot further than anything else. It's just like when you, what they say, it's not what you know, it's who you know, and that could be a resource. A lot of times if we downplay our resources for what we think and what we don't think and what we value out of the three, and I think that's one of the biggest things where we lose track and lose focus of things. I mean, the possession part is easy. You know, I look at my car, I look at my house, I look at my clothes, I look at my jewelry. Those are possessions. You know, finances, I look at my bank account. I look at my job. I look at my pay stubs. But when it comes to resources, we really downplay those things. Resources, you know, knowing people, knowing how to do things, knowing how to network, you know, being an aid to somebody, being help to somebody. And that's why, you know, for me, out of the three, that's the one thing that I really think that a lot of people are missing on, JR. And if we really get an understanding of that, I think that would help us out from my point of view.
Well said, well said. Sister Sanders, let's go to you for a few minutes. You know, how do you look at possession, resources, and finances? How valuable are those three expressions to you?
I think that all three of them are important. And I think, you know, when I look at possessions and kind of relate that to me and just my everyday life, possessions are those things that you've conquered, those things that you have toiled for, you worked for them, and so you possess them. And how you possess them is through with your finances and having the resources of knowing where to go, knowing what's out there for you so that you know where to go or who to go to. And when I look at possessions, I really think of that word being so strong. There's a song where it says they talk about possessing the land. They also talk about that in the Word of God as well as how we possess something. And to me, that's like you persevere. You know, you're not letting anything stop you until you get what you have set your eye on. And you go get that thing, whatever it may be. If it's, you know, getting a house, I'm going to possess the house. You know, you take it, and it's not like you're asking for it in a nice way, but you are persistent and dogmatic about what it is, and so you understand that you have to have the finances and the resources in order for you to possess something, you know. And the other thought that comes is, you know, when we look at repossession, when somebody repossesses something, they don't ask us for it. They go and take it. And so when we possess something, you know, when they say, you know, to possess the land, they went and they took it. They didn't ask any questions. And so I feel like, you know, that word is very authoritative. You know, it's not trying to be a friend. It's not, you know, beating around the bush. But it's saying, that's what I want, and I'm going to go get it. And if I have to work hard, if I have to put all my blood, sweat, and tears into it, that's what I'm going to do because it's mine. It's been promised to me, and I'm going to go get it. But the thing where I think where a lot of people fall short is that they don't know. They know they want to possess something. They can see it, and they want it to be theirs. But sometimes people lack the resources, they lack the knowledge, or they may not have all of the finances to get whatever it is that they're wanting. But it goes back to, like Brother Feaster said, knowing where to go, knowing who to talk to so that you can acquire or possess whatever it is that you set out to go and get. And that's just how I look at all three of those. Thank you, Brother Dunlap.
Thank you. Y'all are saying some very interesting things, and actually y'all are going to a place where we're not really going right now, because we're actually going to talk about some of the subcomponents of PRF in some later episodes. But sticking strictly on the theme of PRF, because we really want people to get an understanding of what it is. Sister Sanders, you're really focusing on not so much what you have, but the value of your possessions, what it takes to actually gain something. And I think that moves us into, which we're really not going to delve too much into it today, but that moves into an act of stewardship. And Brother Feaster, you have likewise have also commented on that as well. So let me ask you this question, and I'll put this out here to either one of you. When it comes to possessions, resources, and finances, why do you think things are often so hard with individuals in their financial life? A lot of times when we talk about financial-related matters, we don't look to the resources. We don't look to the possessions. We oftentimes look strictly to the financial part. If somebody is having a difficult time paying their bills, they're not looking for the resources, in my opinion. They're not looking for who can help me. They're looking for, okay, I just need to get $500 to pay my house note, or $300 to pay my my car note. How can we tell people, what can we do to help people out in that area? Brother Feaster, let's start with you.
I really believe that society has set us up to where we focus more on money anyway. So when it comes down to purchasing stuff, when it comes down to even determine our value or our worth, we always look monetarily. We don't look at, back in the day when we were young, one of the things that was said was, your name is more than, you know, your reputation precedes you. But we don't look at that nowadays. We look at what you have in the bank, what do you drive. So I think society has done such a major shift that we look at money more than anything else. I grew up where my name means a whole lot more than my bank account would ever mean. I mean, possessions was not a major thing, but the name and the character behind the name. So society has got it to where, you know, look at the commercials. Every commercial says, I have to get this. I am a male, but there are commercials out there for females that they're presented in such a way that by the end of that commercial, I have a desire to go get this. So the society has come about and brought about such a change that we don't look at any of the resources. We don't look at the possessions. We look strictly at the finances. The other thing about society is we also look at it in the right now. So the bill comes, I owe $500. Two things that society has taken us away from. Number one, society has taken us away from, I created that bill. Other thing society has taken us away from, not only have I created that bill, but now I am obligated. I have signed a contract saying that I will pay the bill. And so when the bill comes, we've forgotten all about the contract. We've forgotten all about the honor. We've forgotten all about the integrity. And we're looking at the, all I have right now is this bill that they sent me. It's no longer my bill. It's no longer, you know, a bill that I created. It's AT&T sent me this. It's Walmart sent me this. It's Macy's sent me this. And we get mad at the bill as opposed to getting mad at ourselves because we're the ones that created the bill. And, JR, I really believe that that is a major contributor to why we focus more on finances. And that's why I believe that the for me, and it's funny because she was saying possessions, and I'm saying resources. You know, it's interesting the different angle we go at it. But I really believe that the resources, even that $500 bill, can be resourced and still paid. And I really believe that society has taken us away from that. And so we're focusing on a different area of it, and we're not even taking ownership of a lot of things, JR.
Wow. Sister Sanders.
Just, you know, with the question, I think another part of it, too, is, and it probably ties into to Feaster just talking about the lack of responsibility, the lack of education, and fear. You know, we do live in a society where the money, the dollar signs is there. But on the flip side, you know, they're not asking you, what kind of job do you have? They're not worried about what your finances look like. They're just saying, get this new product. And so a lot of people who impulsively buy stuff, they're not thinking about their bills. They're not thinking about the responsibility that they have to that when they are working or if it's receiving a disability check or what have you, that I need to make sure that my household is taken care of first. So we have, how I see it is that we have a society that says work hard and spend millions of dollars making these commercials so that people will buy the products. But at the same time, you have people who are not educated about finances, and they're not responsible when it comes to their finances. They would rather pay for a new sneakers than to take that same money and to make sure that their light bill is paid. And then when you look at fear, you have some people, you know, I was talking to my uncle today, and he was, you know, talking about finances with a couple. And they wanted to get out of the financial rut that they were in. So he looked at them and said, well, what is the stack of stuff on, you know, on top of your TV? It was a stack of bills that they had never opened. And the husband was living in fear. He had lost his job, but they had in a position to where their financially their livelihoods were at jeopardy. But then I go back to, like I said, the responsibility part. Well, bills are sitting right there. Every bill that they had accumulated, they didn't even open up because the fear of knowing that they didn't have the money to pay them. And so I also think that it is the lack of responsibility, lack of education, and then walking in fear to say, I know I created this bill. Now I bit off of more than I can chew, you know, but I had to have it. It's kind of like it really in being impulsive, and then we look at the deal with the consequences later. I was talking to a young man at the shoe store today, and they have sneakers that you put on your feet, walk around in, that get dirty on the bottom, get the crease in there because you're bending your feet, for $200. And I said, you know, people are spending their money on that stuff, on sneakers that have no value. They're not gonna stay new for the when you're wearing them. But our focus is on, I got to get the stuff. I got to, whatever I got to do to make the money to get it. If I got to work 45 hours, if I got to sell some of the stuff in my house so I can get what I want, we are driven to get the stuff, but then we don't look at the responsibility. We're not responsible. We're not looking at the aftermath of that, and that goes back to being educated about finances. And I'm turning back over to you, Nate.
You know, one thing that I think is real interesting is both of y'all have used the term we, and I think it's worth expanding what we mean when we say we. A lot of times we lump ourselves into a certain area with everybody else, but the things that you and I may be talking about on this show are not necessarily things that we do individually, but we're putting ourselves into a place of community because we see our brothers and sisters engaging in this, so we have a concern for our brothers and sisters that are doing these things because we see the outcome, we see the consequences of some of their actions. And let me say to everybody, this is definitely not being judgmental to anybody because some of the things that you talked about, Sister Sanders, when you said we and spending money, I've been there. I'm just at a different point in my life where I don't do those particular things anymore. So I may have compassion on individuals who have spent a lot of money on certain things, wasted a lot of money on certain things and had to live with the consequences. So now our duty, our responsibility, which is part of the reason why this show has been birthed, why all three of us are on this show this evening, is because we're trying to give back to somebody, trying to give back to some individuals that may not have had the opportunity, may not have had the chances to be educated on some of these things. We talk about responsibility. Both of y'all have actually used those terms, responsibility and accountability. And I think because all of us are service members, are veterans, that is one of the Army core values. That's what we were taught in the Army, what y'all still live by in the Army, responsibility, selfless service, duty, honor, loyalty, respect. These are all values that they're not necessarily core Army core values, even though they are, but they're values that anybody can live by. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter what your religious affiliation is, whether you have one or not. Everybody can live by these same core values, and I think that will help us a little bit further. Another thing that I think was very, very interesting, what you said, Adia, was you mentioned the aspect of fear. Fear is just one of the spirits that go into why possession, resources, and finances is so needed, not just in our country, but in our households, in our churches, in our religious organizations, in our community, in our cities. There's a lot of people that have a lot of fear because of different actions that they've taken. So, once again, it's really up to us, those who are maybe in a different place. And when I say a different place, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not saying that I have it all together when it comes to possessions. Brother Feaster has it all together when it comes to resources. Sister Sanders has it all together when it comes to finances. But here's the key. Whatever I have, if I'm willing to share it with somebody else, I know all three of us can attest to this, that we believe that we're going to be blessed by what we do for others. Is that, would that be a true statement that both of y'all can attest to?
Yes, it sure would.
Somebody has sent me a little note, Brother Feaston and Sister Sanders, so let me take it to a place that I think is really, really needed. I want everybody to take a note of something that's in the Bible, and it's 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 through 7. And I'm going to take the time to actually read it. I want people to go back and read it for themselves, and we're going to discuss it after. What it says is, one day the widow of a member of a group of prophets came to Elijah and cried out, "My husband who served you is dead, and you know he feared the Lord, but now a creditor has come threatening to take away my sons as slaves. What can I do to help you? Elisha asked. Tell me, what do you have in the house? Nothing at all except a flask of oil, she replied. And Elisha asks, or says, borrow as many empty jars as you can from your neighbors and from your friends. Then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting each one aside when it gets filled. So she did as she was told. Her sons kept bringing jars to her, and she filled one after another. Soon every container was full to the brim. Bring me another jar, she said to one of her sons. There aren't any more, he told her, and then the olive oil stopped flowing. When she told the man of God what had happened, he said to her, now sell the olive oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what is left over. Brother Feaster, you, when you started talking, this is what automatically came to me, because you were talking about the connection. So is there any comments that you can bring to the table regarding what we just read? Because for me, that is a foundational scripture to this whole possessions, resources, and the finances ministry that God has actually given me. There's a lot more and a lot of other texts and sources that go into this, but from that aspect, Brother Feaster, what can you provide or offer to the listeners that we have tonight?
You know, the entire time you was reading, for some reason, because I honed in on all the resources that she had, that she utilized in the text. She started with the prophet. She knew the prophet. The next resource was her husband's reputation. The next resource was being obedient to what the prophet said. I think the major resource in the whole text is the neighborhood pitched in. She was able to go to her neighbors and get vessels as the prophet had said. And then she went from there and did as the prophet said, another resource, being obedient. And then the prophet told her, take what you have done and go sell it. Mm-hmm. So I just really honed in on all the resources that I had never looked at before. I always just looked at the miracle part of it, but not the resource part. There was a lot of resources in that text where she had everything she needed. She had the oil. She had her husband's reputation. She had the faith. She had the obedience. She had the sons. She had the neighborhood. She had the neighbors. She had the vessels. She had everything she needed. She just had to put them all together. And in the end, the debt that she started with was paid by resources.
Mm.
So that's what I saw in that, JR.
I got you. Brother, let me tell you, you know, resources is so key. And if I had to say it like this, this whole thing that we're dealing with, possessions, resources, and finances, it sits in the middle. And it's kind of like it's on a continuum, that your possessions deal with your resources and your finances deal with your resources. The key is, what are you going to do with them? And I'm glad you brought that point out, that yes, what we actually have is an individual that is going through a situation, like many people are going through situations now. But here's the key. The woman actually went to a man of God.
Right.
The woman actually listened to what the man of God said. Oftentimes, a lot of people have the resources that are there. They have the help that they actually have been given to them. But like you said, if they can't see it, then they can't act on it. So let me take a pause right now, because we have a caller that's on the line that would like to make a comment. So, caller, we're coming to you. Your last four is 6903. Do you have a question or a comment? Welcome to the PRF table.
Hello, Brother JR. This is Dwayne Chick.
Hey, how you doing, sir? Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening. I just want to say, man, congratulations on the new show. Another avenue for you to do some great work, so keep up the good work.
Bless you, brother.
Interesting topic, as you're talking about the possessions, resources, and finances. As our other brother and sister were focusing on the different aspects, and I believe one of them talked about how they're all, you know, somewhat connected. The possessions are basically what we have, finances, how we get it, the currency or the methodology. But what I hear as the conversation has gone on, one of the more interesting or the most significant aspect is the resources. That's where everything comes from. And if we properly respect and recognize the resources, the possessions and the finances will come for us to, you know, do the things we need to do. And unfortunately, as it relates to possessions, many people, instead of us having possessions, possessions have us.
That's right.
We have to have that telephone. We have to have that car. We have to have the bigger screen TV. Those are all possessions. But, I mean, the basketball game is just as much the same game if it's on a 62-inch or 162-inch. If your team lost, it doesn't matter what size the TV is. So we focus on those things. And the text that you just gave was so significant because one of the things that it shows is that we can do something. There is a resource, oil, cut some grass, wash some cars. You can do something, you know, as the Lord told Moses, you know, what's in your hand, basically. And so I think if we have a better outlook on the resources and, you know, get ourselves together on the possessions, all of this will come together. And then we can have the things that we need to have, but to do what I would say, and you would agree, kingdom work, because the scripture talks about we have to remember that it's God that gives us the power to get wealth to establish his covenant. And sometimes we don't want to read that second part of the text, his covenant. And then the obedience factor of the lady in the text, that's the obedient factor. The resource is there, the obedient factor to the principles. As many times in Philippians 4, around verse 19, we like to quote, "My God shall supply all our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." But that's the promise. But there's a prerequisite in verse 18, and we never want to talk about that. So there are some things we need to do to get the possessions, but as the lady in your text, it focuses on obedience to some system. And so I think, you know, if we just focus on some resources, recognizing and respecting the resources, the possessions and the finances, that'll fall in line. And if we take responsibility, that's a word that has come up a couple of times tonight, and unfortunately we don't like to talk about that word either. If we focus on our responsibility, those other issues won't be that much of a problem. But just wanted to throw that out. Keep up the good work, man. You're doing a fantastic job.
Man, thank you, brother. Appreciate all your support. God bless you.
God bless you. Take it easy.
Sister Sanders, did you have any, I know you've been burning, something has been burning inside of you as we've been reading this, so we're just going to let you just let it flow, sister. Let it flow like that oil.
Well, one of the things, you know, in looking at the widow, that I think a lot of us today, really how we miss out on growing is that she had to admit and pretty much confess what it was that she needed. And a lot of times we don't like to open up our mouth and admit that for whatever reason, you know, hey, I messed up and I need help doing this. But she identified that she knew she had a problem. She identified that and she was able to go to the prophet to say, I have an issue. A lot of times we won't even identify that we have an issue. We'll just ignore it and let the bills pile up and not understand that in order to get whatever help that we need, we got to be willing to stand up and be honest with ourselves and say, I have a problem right now, and I don't know what to do. So that was one of the things that I saw with this with the lady, was that she identified her problem. And like the gentleman said, she went to the prophet. She didn't just identify the problem and keep it with her. She went to somebody, whether if she thought he could help her or not, she knew that she had to get some help. And by him giving her the telling her what to do, you know, we already talked about the obedience part. She didn't know probably what the end result was, but I'm even looking at that. She had started a business. She started a business, but she had to once again identify that she had a problem, and she was able to take that problem to somebody who she knew, I believe she knew that she was going to be able to get the help that she needed, and she was able to do just that.
You know, something interesting, and I'm glad we all are really dealing with this and not trying to rush through it. One thing you said, Sister Sanders, you said, you know, she went to the prophet. What can we say, or what can you say to those who don't have that prophet that's within their midst, or that man or woman of God, or that man or woman of God is struggling just as much as the person that needs the help, or the church is not doing what the church could or should be doing, or any other religious organization? What can we do when that resource is not there? Because I think that's key, because I think a lot of people are there. A lot of people don't know where to go. And I also know for a fact that a lot of people, when they don't know where to go, they go somewhere else that they probably shouldn't go.
One thing, and I'm going to just use myself as an example.
All right.
Is it okay?
Good. Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Okay. I remember when I bought a car when I was in college, and I was pregnant and I fell behind on my car payment. I had absolutely no idea what to do. I had no idea. So my car got repossessed. They came and took it. And when I told my mother what happened, she told me, she said, "Why didn't you say anything?" She said, "Why didn't you call me and tell me what you needed?" And the only thing I can come up with, my only response that I had for her was, "I don't know. I just kind of assume, you know, since I was the one that got this car, that I probably need to try to figure it out on my own." And she said, "You should have came to me." And when the more I talked, I was just like, I was so scared. I had never been in a situation like that. And so for me, I had to go to family. I didn't go to my pastor. I didn't go to anybody else. I went to my family, my mother. And she was able to basically tell me where I had went wrong, and that, you know, you can't let bills so far behind, because they will come and take your stuff. Me not knowing that, my mother was my resource. And so sometimes you may not have a prophet or a man or woman of God or a church that you can go to, but you definitely have someone, whether it be in your family, whether it be a neighbor, that you can talk to just to say, "Hey, I'm having this issue. Do you know where I can get the help?" And what I had to do, I had to learn. I had to take that hard lesson. So from that, it led me to, one, begin to look up more information. Like, I started reading about repossessions. I started asking more questions and everything. And for me, it personally took for me to go to my mom, which I was scared to do, because I didn't want to feel like I wasn't, like I had, like I didn't know what I was talking about. So my mother was that prophet for me. She really was. And she helped me, and she explained to me on what I needed to do, you know, staying in contact with the company to find out what else I needed to do and different things like that. And I probably would have never gone to her, or probably to anybody for that fact, because I didn't know. But I felt like at the time she was the person that I needed to go to. I hope that answers your question.
Hey, you know, it's not about really answering my question. It's really just speaking from the heart and putting whatever God puts in your heart to give to somebody, because we have no idea the individuals who is actually listening. We have no idea the individuals who's listening, who knows somebody who needs to hear what we're hearing, and how they're going to be used as a vessel, how they're going to be used as a resource to be able to communicate to somebody else that may be going through something, or for themselves. But the thing that you're talking about, Adia, when you mentioned you had, you know, your mom that was actually there, both you and Brother Fisa, you know, just like I know, that being in the military creates different challenges that, quote unquote, in the civilian world, we don't have to face. And I'm in the civilian world now. We may have our family around us if we live at home, if we're from just a civilian perspective. But in the military, You have to connect with individuals through your work, and you become more like a family because there's a lot of resources that's actually there. But we know that even in the military, a lot of people are struggling as well. So for me, what I'm seeing that it really goes, it boils down to who are you going to reach out to? And if you don't know who to reach out to, my position is you'll reach out to the title pawn places. You'll reach out to gambling. You'll reach out to some of those other high-interest loans, payday loans, which charge sometimes 300, at least 300% interest. And oftentimes people get into negative situations financially because they don't know who to reach out to. So I'm going to say it, I'm going to put it out there. We have a Facebook page. It's called possessions.resources.finances. Go to the Facebook page. Inbox me. My email address is on there as well. We're just going to start doing this thing like it's supposed to be doing, Brother Feast and Sister Sanders. We're actually going to start putting ourselves out there as men and women of God to try to connect people, because if we don't connect people, then they're going to go somewhere else. And I can say as a minister, as a Christian, I don't have the agenda of leading people to Christ. We're just going to do what Christ wants us to do and let him take care of the rest. Does that sound good?
Like a plan.
Sounds good.
Another point, Brother Feast, and if you can touch back on this as well, because, again, there's no need for us to try to hurry up and rush through anything, because people are taking their time to listen, and we need to do justice and do it right. One of the things about friends and neighbors, talk to us, if you can, about what our communities look like right now. Do we live in a society where we know our neighbors, where when individuals get into a problem like this woman, and the prophet, the man and woman of God, or the individual who God places in their path says, hey, I need you to go and check out what you have and go to X, Y, and Z to be able to get this type of whatever assistance that it is. Do we live in a type of society now, or do you live in a type of society, and Sister Sams, you can answer as well, where there are communities of individuals that we know each other, that we know our neighbors, that we know who to go to, and that we can connect other people as well? What type of world do you live in, Brother Feast? How about let's put it like that?
I see two sides to that.
All right.
The first side I see to that is I grew up in the country. I grew up where trees were my neighbors, and the next house was family, and the house after that was family. I mean, that's how I grew up. So that neighborhood was, of course, I knew everybody. They were family. We saw each other at church. We saw each other at the bus stop. We saw each other, you know, wasn't no grocery store, but we saw each other walking down the street. So that neighborhood has, that structure of a neighborhood is few and far in between right now in today's society. However, there is still neighborhoods out there that we can go to. One thing is social media. There's a lot of good things and a lot of bad things about social media. However, that is definitely
for the feast. Sandra, you still there?
I'm here.
Okay. I think we may have just temporarily lost Brother Feaster. Let me see if we can get him back real quick. If he comes back, maybe some technical difficulties on his end. Well, he's right. You know, I know where Brother Feaster lives. He's from South Carolina, and just like you, our family is from North Carolina. And I remember going to Brother Feaster's house when we came back from Saudi way back in 91 or maybe 92, and the community that he's talking about was just like that, and I was able to feel the love. And I'm convinced if something would have happened to me while I was running up and down the road back when I was stationed at Fort Lee, Virginia, and I would have went and said, hey, I know the Feasters, I'm convinced that if I would have needed something, if my car would have broke down, that there would have been somebody there that would have helped me out just because of actually who I know. So you know, I think I wish he can come back and finish up. Hold on, Brother Feaster is coming back with us right now. Go ahead, Brother Feaster. You with us again?
Yes, sir. I am so sorry.
No problem, brother.
I came in and I pushed the wrong button to say the phones are smart, not the people. But anyway.
Go ahead, brother.
But what I was saying was the structure of the neighborhood has changed, but we still have neighborhoods. I mean, like I said, I grew up in a small community where my neighbors were family. But today's society, we still have neighborhoods. They're just not structured the same. Social media is a neighborhood. Social media, I mean, I can get on Facebook. I can get on Twitter. And those, I mean, they call them friends, but that's still my neighborhood. Work is a neighborhood. And these are the places where we can reach out to those resources. Now, it goes back to Sister Ida said, a lot of times we go to these people and they may not know. You come talking to me about finances and stuff, a couple of years ago, I wouldn't have been able to tell you to look inside your house and what you got to sell or what you got to do, or you got a truck, once you go haul some leaves for somebody, or you got a lawnmower, once you go down the street and cut some grass. I would have never said that. I would have said go to one of these high-interest loan places, or go to one of these, you know, check cashing places or something like that. You know, but so it goes to when we get to the understanding of the community, now we're trying to figure out who in the community we need to go to. Mm. And technology, the Internet has helped us out with that. I mean, we can still go online and find out this information, but the neighborhood is still there. It's just structured different, JR.
And you're right. Look at what we're doing. So there's going to be individuals that is going to be able that will be able to connect through us, and individuals who will be able to connect as well. We have a niece that is stationed up there at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, right now. And here's the reality. I know for a fact, ladies and gentlemen, that if she was to get in some type of trouble, I know that I can call Adia or I can call Brother Feaster and say, hey, our niece is having a little situation right now. That resource, because of the relationship that we have, is what's actually keep us going, keeps everything going. So I'm with you, Brother Feaster. Sister Adia, did you have anything else on this Second Kings verse, or you want to go take it somewhere else?
Well, I just wanted to add to the part about the community and, you know, your neighbors and stuff. You know, when we came back to Fort Bragg, when we were here the first time, I really didn't talk a lot to my neighbors because the job that I had, I was working long hours and everything. I knew, like, maybe two neighbors on my whole street, too. And after leaving and coming back, I made up in my mind, I said, I'm going to know who my neighbors are, because if I ever needed them, if something ever happened, I want to know that I can go to them. So I made it a point to go and meet the children that my kids play with. I met their parents. I introduced myself to them. You know, I told them, this is where, you know, here's where I live. Our children play together. And so now, even though, because I've done that, I built that rapport with my neighbors. I'll go to their house and, you know, see how they're doing. And I feel like that has been really key in my neighborhood. You know, when we've had things going on in our neighborhood, you know, me and my husband knocked on every neighbor's door to make sure that they were informed of what was going on, to be on the lookout, and to take the necessary precautions. And that, to me, that felt so good. I said, because this is what I heard my mom talking about when neighbors would take care of each other, you know, knowing that you have a neighbor who has children and her husband's deployed. I don't just wait for her to see if she needs any help. I go and I offer my help. I'll take your two kids for you so that you can take care of some things, like, you know, take care of things. You know, and our neighbors know that we're here for them. You know, is there anything you need? I'm going to the store. Can I pick something up from you? And I think just those values and wanting to know who the people are in your neighborhood definitely builds a rapport. And then it also, Brother Feaster said, it allows you to know those resources, what they can contribute also to the table. And I just thought that was just really key. You know, in the 21st century, in the time that we live in, is that we go that extra mile, because a lot of times now you go through neighborhoods, you don't even see your neighbors. Their cars are in the garage, and
right.
if you see them, you know, it's like in passing, like, oh, I haven't seen them in a long time. So I think just taking that extra step to know who your neighbors are and to knowing about them and their background and things that they do, I think that connects us and builds that community. So for me, it was really literally knowing my neighbors. And I know that they have my family's back, that if I did need one of them, I believe that they would be there for me. I really do.
Okay. Wow, we have been going for about 50 minutes and time is wrapping up. But what I want to do right now, I want to go to Shelly Caldwell. Shelly Caldwell is the founder of the We Speak Association Network, which is the umbrella under which the PRF table falls under, as well as Freedom Radio with Kimberly Peen. So we just want to go to her briefly. She's been monitoring the chat room. She's always looking out on social media. So, Shelly, how you doing this evening?
Oh, I'm doing great, JR. Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you fine.
Okay, great. Of course, you know, we're out here hanging out in the cloud. We love our social media and the fans that follow us and are so committed to our shows. We want to welcome you tonight. Thank you so much for stepping out, man, and really just, if I can, pun intended, possessing your place, I believe, out here on Blog Talk Radio. I think this is a new step for you where you have found your footing, if you will, with Freedom Radio, and now you're out to do your own thing. So I'm proud of you, and I am just so glad you took the step. Congratulations on your first night. Listen, you have an awesome dialogue going on, as usual, and as always, your following is great, very well educated, and also persons of inspiration and coming from a place of experience. And I just really appreciate everyone's skill set, their professionalism on the show. And thank you all so much as listeners for following us and just really giving your heart to our show as you follow, whether you're online or whether you're tweeting with us or whether you're just joining us in the chat room and listening online while you multitask. And we certainly want to appreciate you. JR, as you know, we've been announcing that November was our anniversary year, and so we made it into December, and we are just moving forward with, of course, new people on the show, new shows coming out. We want our listeners to stay in tune and in touch with us. Of course, you have a Facebook page, which you were just mentioning just a few people prior to your comments there, where your possessions, resources, and finances page is actually up on Facebook. So we want to encourage you all to join us on Facebook. Add your comments. You know, Facebook's always there. You got it on your phone, on your iPads, or there at your computers. We want you to add your comments to our Facebook page and really begin to get active out there in social media with us and let us know what you're thinking about the show. Even when we're live, we want you to just feedback, jive with us, dialogue with us, and give us your commentary. We definitely want to invite you out to Twitter at We Speak Radio, because we're tweeting always, and we love to hear from you. And, of course, we want to make JR feel welcome. And so if you're in the chat room and you need to listen online, we're definitely looking forward to seeing you out there as well in the chat room live while the show is going from 8:30 to 9:30 when he does come on his regular schedule. Of course, we want to promote and push out Freedom Radio, who is also on Tuesday nights as they rotate and share this time. We want you to look forward to Kimberly Skeen on next Tuesday, where she'll be talking about the Christian and emotional intelligence. You don't want to miss that show. I tell you, Kim and JR and Drea, they have such a power-packed dialogue, just so controversial sometimes, but I enjoy the show. and we want to invite you all back on next Tuesday, 8:30 to 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. And, of course, tomorrow morning, if you're at lunch and you're just hanging out, you're doing errands, if you're beginning to kick in gear and do a little bit of holiday shopping, whatever you're doing, we have a Wednesday Chat and Chew with me, Shelly Caldwell. We Chat and Chew from 12 to 2. We talk with our mouths full. Some of my friends call in there in the drive through. They call in and say hello. We want to hear your promotions, your events, your fundraisers, and the things that you are doing in your community. We've got people listening there from Chicago, Detroit, Philadelphia, and right here in Atlanta, Georgia. And we want to welcome you to just call in again on the same number that you're listening in on now at 914-338-1692 and roll with us during the middle of your day and check in with me and say, hey, I heard you. Look, I'm a new listener. We want to welcome you also on Wednesdays from 12 to 2. You're Chat and Chew with Shelly Caldwell. And, again, we're always tweeting on the same page and we're Facebooking. So we look forward to everyone, just coming together and beginning to expand our listenership and our numbers. Hey, JR, you guys' numbers are blowing out the water, man. So you're doing a great job.
We're trying to catch you. That's all.
Well, when the student is ready, the teacher shows up. So, yay, you stepped up.
To God be the good, that's all we say.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, so I'm excited for you, man, and I'm looking forward to just you expanding your own listenership as well, in addition to what you do and add to, you know, the content that Kimberly brings on Tuesday as well. So thank you so much for just joining the family, and I appreciate the support as well. Listen, back over to you. We're going to keep it moving here. We're looking forward to seeing you all for the last 15 minutes of the show. We're in the chat room, and we just enjoy knowing that you're out there in whatever form you join us in. We're looking at you. We're listening to your comments, and we certainly look forward to seeing you each week. Back to you, JR.
All right. Thank you so much, Shelley.
You're welcome.
So sometimes we have to do that, brother. We have to make sure that we let everybody know, you know, what's going on, and make sure we give credit to God for being able just to give us the opportunity for what we've been entrusted to do. You know, this is a thing of stewardship, so there is responsibility and there is accountability that comes from being able to go across the airwaves, as one of my dear sisters said yesterday or the day before yesterday. One thing I want to touch on as we have these last few minutes together is back to that same text that we were using when we talked about paying your debts. And both you and you, Adia, and Brother Feaster both have talked about that. I think right now it's worth trying to have a little bit of discussion about the paying the debts. Let's be honest. We do know that most people, they want to pay their debts, but a lot of things have happened in individuals' lives where they may not be able to pay their debts. And you and I all know that when individuals start going down into an area where debt has surmounted so much, because it started off small and now it is big. It started off with a low interest rate, and now because of an adjustable rate mortgage, for example, the interest rate was 6%. Now it's about 11%, and every year it's, you know, 6 months is going up more and more. What can we do with these individuals that are going through these serious, serious crunch times? Yes, the resources is important, but are there any resources that you can put out there, Brother Feaster, that can possibly help somebody? And Sister Sanders, if you have any, you want to jump in as well, because I know a lot of people are going through some financial problems, and debt is a very, very big part of it. As well. So, Brother Feaster?
I have two resources, and they're going to be kind of controversial.
They ain't controversial, brother.
They're not going to be the norm. Well, the first one is a calculator. I mean, you really, debt starts before you sign your name on a contract. Debt does not start, you know, when you get the item. Debt starts long before that. So the calculator come into place. Can you actually afford what you think you are? You know, what you're about to possess. So, I mean, that's the first piece of advice. Second piece of advice is actually, you know, my mom used to say it all the time when we was growing up, you know, do you need it? There's a difference between a need and a want. And that right there is a major thing. Do you need it, or is it a want? And we get caught up in strong wants, thinking there are needs. You know, I need a phone. Do I need an iPhone? I need a car. Do I need a Lexus? You know, I need pants. Do I need top of the line? You know, and I think so. For me, like I said, it's not what they probably was listening to hear, but a calculator, and then just, you know, realizing the difference between a need and a want. And we have to, the sacrifice part, you know, once we get to that point, some things we have to let go, you know, we have to let it go to either learn the lesson or either get back on top. We have to be willing to make that ultimate sacrifice to get back on top. I hope that's what they wanted to hear, but, I mean, that's all I got.
The reality is this. There is somebody that may not want to hear it but needs to hear it, mm-hmm. And there's somebody that knows somebody who may need to hear it as well. So we never know how God is going to take it. So we definitely don't be apologetic for what God gives us to give to the people. Sister Sandra, did you have anything on that? What are some things that you think are helpful for individuals that are going through some serious debt problems?
One is, and I think, you know, besides getting a calculator and asking that really poignant question about the need and the want, it's just being able to and I know this is probably resources, but some people just need to go back to the basics and just look at, this is how much I make, and this is how much my bills are. If I don't have the money to pay for these things, then guess what? I can't get them. And in that, I think a lot of times we don't look at what we have. We're not looking at how much money we have. We're looking at all of the things that we want. And so a lot of times our debt-to-income ratio is, our debt is bigger than our income. And so if we start doing the math, and a lot of times, and I like when Brother Feaster said about pulling out the calculator, when you pull out the calculator and look at what you have coming in monthly or biweekly, then you also need to take that next step to say, okay, let me look at what my bills are for the month and any other expenses such as food, gas for my car, water and light. We need to know what is priority. Priority is having a place to live, having a car so I can get to work, and having money to put in to buy gas so that I can get back and forth to work, and having food. Any other things that fall below that, they're not a priority. And I think that if learning how to budget is very key, and just, it takes a lot of discipline, and I'm speaking on that from personal experience. You know, me and my husband, we do a budget. And one of the things that I'm continuing to learn is that I don't have to have it. I do not have to have it. I mean, there was a point in my life that I went without cable because I just couldn't afford it. And so instead of putting myself in debt to try to get something just because I wanted to watch TV, I had to sacrifice. And I had to sacrifice and go to Walmart and get an antenna and get the 5-6 channels that was on TV so that I can make sure that my bills that I needed to have were taken care of. And so,
right,
I think it's just looking at what you have, learning how to budget, learning about money, learning what you need to spend your money on, as versus, because I have this amount of money, I'm going to go blow it here at the mall, and then I'll get to my bills later. And then you don't have the money, and now you got to ask somebody, can you borrow the money? So that's just one of the things that I've learned, is just budgeting. It's just really been such a blessing, because I've seen where my money is going. And then to know that at the end of the month that I still have money left over, because I didn't just frivolously go out there and spend. I took the time to identify where everything needed to go, and I can make that decision and ask myself, do I really need to spend this much money on this month, or can I save up for it to get it later?
All right. Well, let me just give something else to the listeners. Part of the reason for this show is because there's a lot of people within our communities, a lot of people within our various religious affiliations who are increasingly struggling from a financial standpoint. And I know this is true at least for the last good 10 years. And one thing about it, financial challenges, they lead to, as well as have contributed to, a whole lot of the breakdowns and severe breakdowns of marriages, severe breakdowns of the family unit as a whole, and also as a community. I think people desire sincere help, Brother Feaster, Sister Sanders. I really do. I believe people desire to get help, but the thing about it, I think they desire help without individuals who they're seeking help from or being sent to having self-centered motives. I think people desire help without people being judgmental to them and having their judgmental opinions. Well, if you didn't do this, then you wouldn't have been in this situation. Let me just share something with everybody. More than likely, a person who went and spent their money recklessly, they know that they spent their money recklessly. That's probably not the most effective way for us to try to minister to somebody, to tell them something that they already know. The best thing to do is try to get to see if they understand what they did to get themselves in that situation.
And another thing about individuals who have a sincere desire to get help, they don't want to come up against individuals who are just trying to get some type of financial gain from them. So, for example, if the only reason why I'm trying to help you is so that I can, for example, I know that there's companies and individuals that will do things like, I can repair your credit for $399. They don't have no more sincere motives behind that. More than, let me tell you why. Because it is not the best thing to ask somebody who really, really needs help to give up some money. Mm-hmm. Money that they don't have. If that person is already struggling, mm-hmm. if it's really about helping that individual, why can't the question be, well, what can you do? I know this is my fee, but what can you offer up right now for my services? So it really makes a difference. And the other thing is this, and I'm not going to be apologetic about anything that we say at the PRF table. Again, like I said at the beginning of the show, there's three things that we are allowing people to do. We're giving them the opportunity, either to eat, either to feed, or to serve. The local church has failed consistently to teach in this area of PRF. It doesn't have to be called PRF in your local church or religious organization, but in this area, the church has consistently failed. To talk about this as well as how it actually applies in everyday life, there's large segments of society that have created and promoted a culture of independency, and anybody can stop me if that's not the case, but we hear so much depending on what stations you listen to or what social media outlets you listen to and read, that it's all about, or so much of it is about, do it on your own. You don't need anybody. Well, that's not how we believe things should be. You know, that societal norm, for whatever reason, has bled over into the church. And Brother Feaster, you and I have had conversations about this in the past. And when I say the church, I'm only saying the church because that's what I'm a part of. But there's other institutions as well that probably can be placed in that same sentence that I just mentioned. So that norm has bled over into the church or whatever institution you want to talk about, where a culture of dependency is central or has been central to the foundational roots. So the members, along with society in general, do not look to the church as sources for a communal response to socioeconomic injustices. People in the church do not feel comfortable turning to the church during time of economic challenges. The church and its leaders are not equipped to confront the root causes of economic challenges. And there's often two types of solutions, Brother Feast and Sister Sanders, that I've often seen. One is a Band-Aid fix. The other one is nothing. So here's the question that we're going to take to the end of the show for the next 10 minutes or so is, what have we been doing as leaders? What have we not been doing as leaders? And what would you like to see happen? And let's take the show out there to give the listeners something to think about, as well as something that they can be thinking about, the leaders or those who are in leadership positions over them, how they can start trying to approach this. So, Sister Sanders, let's go to you. You know, what have we been doing as leaders? What have we not been doing, and what can we do, or what would you like to see happen?
What I think that we have not been doing as leaders is just being honest with people. I think that we've been telling them, bring your tithes, bring your offering, God is going to bless you. But then we got people that bring in their tithes and their offering, and they don't even know how to balance a checkbook. They
Wow.
don't even understand what giving their tithes and offering really means. And so you have people who are, once again, that are financially illiterate. So they're giving their offering, they're paying their tithes faithfully, but then they go back home and they're still stuck. And so I think that, you know, when we look at the leaders in the church, we're not painting the correct picture. We're not painting a realistic picture. We're just telling people to bring, come on, and God's going to bless you, but how is he going to bless me? You know, I think that we need to sit down with people and stop all of the hooping and the hollering and getting people excited and people running down to the front of the church when they heard a good word, taking their money and throwing it at the altar and spinning around three times, and then they go back home and they're still broke. they're still void and they don't know what to do. I think that, and what I think that we can do as leaders is start being honest with people and letting them know, you know, not just bring your tithes and your offering, but do you know how to balance your checkbook? Do you know how to do that? Do you understand, you know, about finances? Because we don't learn that in school. We pretty much learn geometry, how to read, and then you get thrown out in the real world and where they expect for you to pay your bills, where they expect for you to understand how interest rates learn. And I think where we failed at as leaders is that we're not educating people and we're not challenging them with those hard questions, asking them, how are you doing financially? We just got people coming and bringing their money, and then some people are going back home and they're still struggling. And that is, you have to excuse me, because it's so hard to see people that are in churches. My heart, I would sit back at my church that I used to go to, you know, growing up, and you see people driving raggedy cars. But they're giving their all because they believe in their hearts that God is going to bless them. But then they don't see it. And so I think that we as leaders have got to be honest with people. That if my church members are struggling to pay their bills, I'm sitting up here able to go on vacation and I got two or three cars, why are my members struggling? Why are we saying that God is going to bless them? But they can't even see the blessings because they're still driving around in a raggedy car, or they can't even afford to buy a decent meal to put on their plate for their families. And we're selling people false dreams. We're telling them about this great and awesome God, but there's no fruit for that individual. There's no fruit for that mother who's raising single, being as a single mother. There's no fruit for that father who's looking for a job and he don't know where to turn. And the fruit is not there. We are failing because we don't want to be honest. We want to try all of these gimmicks instead of being honest with people and showing them the right way. And we got people filling out applications if they need money to pay their light, but what they've been paying their tithes and offering to your church for 5 years faithfully with the little bit of money that they had coming in, and now they got to fill out an application just to get a little bit of help. We got people thinking that unless they pay their tithes, that they're cursed. But they're coming out, but they're giving their tithes by their time. We got people thinking that unless it's financially, that's the only way that they're going to get a blessing. You're cursed with the curse if you don't bring your money down to the altar. But they can give of their time because some people may not work. Some people may barely have enough to keep their lights on. But we got people thinking that unless they're giving their tithes and their offering financially, that they're not going to make it and God is not going to bless them. And I am tired of it. Tired of seeing people struggle and drive raggedy cars and still living in the projects. And you got pastors and the first lady and the deacons and the missionaries and all of them living high off the hog while the members struggle every single day. And they are the ones that are the backbone and are holding the church up and bringing people there.
Let me tell you what I just heard. We got a lot of people that's listening to this show right now, and I heard a lot of amens resonating all over the airwaves. Y'all may not be able to hear it, but I'm hearing it. I'm hearing it. And let me say this, Adia. What you've done is just freed a lot of individuals, both in the church and both outside of the church, because people outside of the church see exactly what you're seeing. And they don't want to be a part of the church when they see exactly what you're seeing. Why would they want to be a part of us when we see exactly what you just described? So we know that is just not, something is wrong. There's a disconnect there. And we don't say that is exactly the way the whole church is. One of the things that I'm big on is who is they and where are they? So as we have these conversations, know that when our guests and our callers are speaking, they're speaking from their context, which is okay. They're speaking from where they're at and what they've seen.
and that is perfectly fine. But by no stretch of imagination are we painting the whole church, or we will take any institution nationwide or globally as what we're actually talking about. We're just coming from our context. But again, Sister Sanders, I'll tell you like I told Brother Feaster, we will not be apologetic. Sometimes some people have said, Brother Dunlap, the time is now. And I respect and I say I appreciate that. But in reality, the time has been. So let us be ever so cautious and at the same time ever so grateful that God has given us another opportunity. The things that you mentioned, and I just want to just recap, and Brother Freestyle, I'm coming to you in a few minutes. One of the things that we're not doing, according to what you said, Sister Sanders, and I want people to hear this again, leaders, we're not being honest with people. Some of us are not being honest with people. We're not telling people what tithing is all about, and we're not challenging them. Somebody's constantly going through the same thing over and over and over, but then we just put a Band-Aid fix on it and don't really want to have constructive dialogue with them, not just a discussion, but dialogue. And we're not asking the hard questions. What's really, really, really going wrong? But you gave some good points, and that's what this show is all about. You did say, what can we do? Well, we can be honest. Some of us can be honest. Some of us can start being honest. A big thing, which I'm a very big promoter of, we can teach this inside of the church. And the other thing that you said I thought was just profound is we can begin to show fruit. That's what people are looking for. That's what we talk about. And that's not being judgmental, but if you don't see it, you don't see it. If you go outside and you know it's a pear tree and there's nothing on, no pears coming off of the vine, then there's something wrong. Either we're in the wrong season or somebody's already taken all the fruit off of it. So I'm going to digress. Brother Feaster, go ahead, brother.
I am in total agreement to what Sister Ida said. Total agreement. And I can't even begin to, you know, I agree with you. I want to add some things to that. I mean, we're in total agreement, everything. I agree. Leaders, and we're talking about the church, but I'm going outside the church. Leaders need to lead. Leaders need to lead. Leaders need to lead. You cannot be a leader and not lead. Leaders need to lead. So that's one of the major problems. We're looking to our leaders, and these leaders are not leading. It could be because of selfishness. It could be because of education. It could be because of pride or whatever. But first of all, leaders need to lead, because we as subordinates are looking to our leaders, and we're expecting the answers, we're expecting the direction, we're expecting that leadership. And in a lot of cases, we're not getting leadership. They may be leading us, but they're not leading. The other thing is we need to educate ourselves. We spend too much time listening to what somebody else said and believing what they said and running with it. We don't take the time to educate ourselves to learn for ourselves. So that's why we believe that, you know, the only blessing I'm going to get from tithing is a monetary blessing. And not even looking at, in that text, they weren't even talking about money. But we've equated it to money to nowadays. You know, so we have to educate ourselves. We have to educate ourselves. We can't take, you know, everybody's word for it. I can't take your word for it. I have to educate myself. And the last thing I want to add to that is once we educate ourselves, then we can challenge and question. We have that right to challenge and question. So many people are going to churches, giving up their money, giving up their time, giving up their talents, giving up their resources, and not challenging and not questioning, because they feel that if I challenge or question this leader, then I'm in the wrong. No, I have that right to challenge and question. I have that right to challenge. It is my right to challenge. It's my right to question, because these are my resources. There's nothing in the Bible, since we're going back to the church, there's nothing in the Bible says that I can't challenge or question what's going on. Now, there is the context and how I question. If,
you know, for the theologians and scholars that's out there. There's how I question, but there is nothing to say that I cannot question and I cannot challenge. And we're too busy sitting back and just allowing whatever to happen and not challenging and not questioning. If we see it's wrong, we have to stand up. We have to say something. Now, that standing up may not be what we think it is or how we think it is. I remember in a church meeting, and I voiced my opinion, and the pastor came back and he voiced his opinion. Well, when it came down to vote, which I don't like voting in the church, that's another whole story in itself, I told the pastor, I don't vote in the church, but in this situation, I had to make a stand, and I voted against everything else, and I was the only one to vote against. The thing that bothered me was not that I voted against it. It was not that me and the pastor were at odds with each other. The thing that bothered me was I was the only one standing in disagreement for this. And as soon as the meeting was adjourned, as soon as it was time to go, all of a sudden now we got 5 and 6 and 7 little groups of people, and they want to voice their opinion and how they disagree with it. Well, you had your opportunity to say something, and you didn't. So we have to educate ourselves. Leaders have to lead, and then we have to challenge and question what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Brother Fita, here's what I know to be true right now. Right now, God has placed 3 leaders on this show, has allowed 3 leaders to come to the PRF table and have a seat. One of the things that we're able to do right now, I believe, is to be able to serve based upon what we have. And at the same time, we're able to feed ourselves based upon what we 3 are communicating among ourselves and what others are saying. And we're just creating a space, creating an opportunity for people to just be able to come back. Because the reality about a lot of things that we talked about, a lot of things that both you and Adia have said, is a lot of people don't have access to the table. And I think that's why God gave me this metaphor of the PRF table, because everybody is valuable. Everybody that God created is valuable. So everybody should have an opportunity to sit at the table. And the reality is this: I may be at the table today, but I may not be at the table tomorrow. You know what the good news is? I have an opportunity to come back to the table. Nobody has the right to stop me from having a seat at this particular table, because this is strictly about God's business and about God's people. So with that, brothers, let me just, Brother Feaster and Brother Sanders, let me just say thank you so much for coming on the show. Thank you so much for just having a seat and having this conversation. That is what it started off as. And I think we actually ended with dialogue, because we gave people and you more so than I did, really gave people some things to actually think about. You've shared some things that individuals may have wanted to say for a long period of time but never felt that they had the voice. And we really encourage our listeners to take into account that you do have a right. You have a right to challenge, as Brother Feaster said. You have a right to question and ask. It is a duty and responsibility to educate yourselves. The things that I learned about possession, resources, and finances, brothers and sisters, I can tell you that it didn't come from a book. It came from watching. It came from listening. It came from asking questions. It came from a lot of pain and heartache, because I did those things, and those things were not popular. But the way that God has changed everything and has turned these things around and allowed me to be able to do some things that would not have come if I would have just sat back in the back of the church, so to speak, or not came to the front, so to speak. So thank you, Brother Feaster. If you can just give us some last and final thoughts as we get ready to close out the show, and then Sister Sanders, you can just come right behind him, and then I'll have some final thoughts for our listeners.
I want to start off by saying thank you for the invite. I mean, I feel humbled and honored to even be asked to come and be a part of this. You know, I've listened to your show off and on since you first introduced me to it, and very informative, very, very informative. And this is a very vague topic. Vague is not the word I want to use, but it's a topic. It's a taboo topic. We feel as if it's not a topic that we could or should talk about. But yet many people are suffering because we're not talking it. We're not discussing it. We're not sitting at the table. We're not partaking in the meal that's at the table. You know, we're just idly going by and allowing things to happen. So I think this is a great thing. Now, if we take this information and use it, that would be an even better thing. You know, there's education and there's application. You know, I challenge everyone, and I'm talking to myself too because I learned a lot of stuff today. So I'm challenging everyone, don't just take the information and be glad that you sit here and heard my great voice and was entertained by what I said, but you take the information and you apply it because we gave very practical stuff on how you can do it. Look around your house. Find the resources that you have just lying around, idly waiting. You know, we're in this season of giving. We're in the season of giving. You know, why not give away some of that stuff or give away some of your resources? And then with that, I'll turn it over to Sister Sanders.
God bless you, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I really love just being on the show tonight. And I, you know, if I can just leave a message behind just for people to stay encouraged and not to live in fear. A lot of times we live in fear, so we suffer silently. But it is time for us to wake up and to realize that you don't have to suffer. You don't have to be ashamed. You don't have to be embarrassed because we all have made decisions that we had to live with. But as long as people have a desire, as long as you have a desire to want to do the right thing and to learn, then I believe that you'll be blessed. I believe that you will, that God will place those people in your life that you need so that you can get what it is that you need, so that you can continue to grow and to be a blessing to other people. And as the Word of God says, then you can be the lender and no longer the borrower. And that's all I have, Nate.
Thank you, Sister Sanders. And let me just say to Brother Feaster and to you, both of you have open invitations to come on the show whenever you feel that you're led to share, just like you said, shared this evening. You both have seats at the table that others are going to fill as well. So this, what we've done tonight, we've just started and created a community. Like I said before, where everybody feeds, everybody eats, everybody serves. To our listeners, you've just been introduced to just a very small portion of Possessions, Resources, and Finances, or PRF. We really encourage you to continue to come back. But here's the thing. Do like Brother Feaster said, if there was something that has blessed you, that has helped you, let God work that thing through you and with you to somebody else who needs it. We got 13,000 listeners on the show for a whole year's period. I'm declaring that we can get a whole lot more than that because this is an area that really needs to be talked about. Please encourage your friends and your family members to go onto our Facebook page at possessions.resources.finances, and we ask you to like our page. Also, go to the Blog Talk Radio, the We Speak Association Network on Blog Talk Radio. You'll see a picture of Shelley Caldwell, the founder of the We Speak Association. Underneath her picture on the left side of the screen, you'll see a button that says follow. When you click that button, you'll be able to receive emails and special important information as it becomes available. So you can keep up not just with the PRF table show, but also Freedom Radio with Kimberly Skeen and also Chat and Chew with Shelley Caldwell on Wednesday night. I would tell everybody that as long as I have breath in my body and God gives me the ability to do this, we're going to continue to do it. Right now, God is just giving me the go-ahead to just do this once a month, which is going to be on the first Tuesday at 8:30. We're going to continue to co-host along with Kimberly Skeen and Drea Palmer on all of the other Tuesdays at 8:30. So continue just to support us. We really, really thank you for the support you've provided so far. And go back and just let God meditate, or excuse me, let God speak to your heart more than he has already on 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Those are some powerful, powerful verses in there, and there's a lot of meat in there. And anybody can allow God to work that thing out within their life. So until we meet again, God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful week, and we'll talk to you next time.